Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Find somebody else and say, don't worry about your life. Therefore, I say to you, I'm sorry, next verse. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So I'm going to pause here, because you might have heard teaching what says that unless you sow, you cannot reap. Or unless you sow, God won't bless you. So if you don't have a seed to give to me, the man of God or the church, God won't bless you. But Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't sow nor reap. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. See, a good parent feeds you even if you can't give them anything. Come on. If God is good, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to you what you need? My daughter doesn't have to sow to reap from me. I don't want you to think you have to sow in order to reap from God. Sowing and reaping is a principle of life in general. But when it comes to our relationship to God, you don't sow and reap for God to give you anything. There's something better than sowing and reaping. It's called faith. It's called trust. It's called reliance. I believe you're good, God, and I trust you to be good to me. That's it. You pray that to God, God will meet all your needs. But the minute you begin to size God up and say, well, God, I'm going to do this for you to give me this, then you're beginning to treat God like a genie, not a father. Are you not more valuable than birds? Yes, you are. So let's keep reading. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? By worrying, can you add one inch to your height? You cannot change anything by worrying. So verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field or the roses you're about to give out. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Do you realize what he said? The lilies or the roses don't create their own clothes. Yet they're beautifully arrayed. You know what I start doing now when I go to grocery stores? I walk into the grocery stores and say, look at all the cereal I want. Look at all the different pastas that I want, all the different types of yogurts I want, that somebody went out their way to bring all the way into the supermarket just for me. Somebody went out their way to bring all this stuff for you right in one central location. You don't gotta go to a cow to get your milk. You don't gotta create the pasta that you want. Come on. We are so blessed. And you got to learn how to count your blessings. You need to learn how to see the blessing in life every day. Come on. So he says, you know, flowers don't clothe themselves, yet they're beautiful because I dress them. And he says, are you not more valuable than flowers? Are you not more valuable than birds? Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what we're going to eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? Two more verses. For after all these things, the Gentiles, the lost, unbelievers, all these things the rest of the world seeks after. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need for these things. But here's the catch, verse 33. You should all memorize this, have this tattooed in your heart. It says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Hallelujah. Here it is. Jesus is telling us the basic rules to kingdom living. Basic rules for living in earth as in heaven. Jesus says, if you expect to live in earth as in heaven, the most basic of those rules is this. You cannot worry about life. As a matter of fact, the level of worry that you have in life determines the world that you're most aware of. If you're more concerned and you're worrying about the affairs of life than you are about the kingdom, then that means you're more aware of this world than you are of the kingdom. And if I'm going to learn how to bring heaven to earth, I got to learn how to become more aware of heaven. Amen? Now, Jesus says you cannot worry about earth, worry about the things like what did it do? He said clothes, your food, things that you, what you need to drink. He said these are necessities, shelter, all right, the basic necessities of life. Jesus says the rest of the world worries about those things. But for you, followers of Jesus Christ, if you follow me, that means you have to learn how to rest. You have to learn how to put your worries to rest. In other words, what Jesus was saying is this. Don't get stressed out about anything in life. All right, so that hits a little bit more home, right? Because how many of you go through your weeks talking about how stressed you are? How stressed out your job makes you. How stressed out your kids make you, moms, parents. Come on. We are stressed. You know what? The World Health Organization, I believe in 2009, declared that the number one health epidemic in our time, in the 21st century, is stress. The World Health Organization declared stress to be the number one health epidemic in the 21st century. Five of the six leading causes of death, including cancer, including high blood pressure, including respiratory diseases, including strokes, all are directly linked to being stressed out. The greatest diseases that kill Americans today are linked to stress. I'll even go say it goes farther than that, because when you're stressed, your eating habits change. Right? So when you're stressed out, you don't eat as healthy as you should. You get stressed and you bring out the bowl or the tub of ice cream and you sit down in front of the TV and you just eat ice cream. All right? You might eat M&M's or chocolate. When you're stressed, your body craves the things that it doesn't need. So we can connect obesity to it. We can connect diabetes to it. I mean, the list goes on and on. When you're stressed, sometimes you don't get enough sleep because you're up all night thinking about the things you're worried about. So when the lack of rest causes you to have fatigue, low energy, it causes you to be less alert. Accidents are also listed as the top, one of the top six causes of death in the country, and that's also linked to stress. God did not create us to live a life of stress. He created us to live a life of rest. When you see, we are so stressed as a race, as people. We think that that's common, that's normal. We've learned how to live our lives and cope with stress to the point where, again, we'll embrace stress, but then rest we treat like a luxury. Think about it. We'll work and work and work and work and work, and then we'll say, you know what, I deserve a vacation. I deserve a break. I deserve rest. As if we've trained ourselves to think of rest as a reward. When rest is supposed to be a foundational principle for how we live our lives. God, in the very beginning of time, created Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then said, I'm resting. Wait, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I said, I'm going to rest. On the seventh day, he rested. Not because he was tired, but because he was giving us a principle for how to do life. Rest is supposed to be as common to your weeks and your days as work is. And the rhythm of life only works to its optimum potential when you learn how to incorporate a life of rest into the equation. You must rest. Say it to me, say it with me. Say, I want to learn how to rest. Come on, if stress is killing people, we need to begin to war against stress. See, and stress, you can't cast out the spirit of stress. It's not a demon to cast out. You have to literally change the way you think, change the way you live, change everything about it. It's you learning how not to come under the demands and pressures that life will put on you if you don't know how to manage it. You know, Jesus promised us, Paul promised us in Romans 5:17, he says, he will give us the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so that we will reign in life. To reign in life, that means I'm not being overwhelmed by life. It means that I'm not being swallowed up by life. It means that the demands and pressures of life are not too much for me, but it means that I'm learning. I know how to overcome. I know how to step over. I know how to be the head and not the tail in all my circumstances. Jesus was determined to teach us a life of rest. He said, come to me, right? All you who are heavy laden and are burdened, who are stressed out, and I will give you rest. This is the first thing that Jesus wants to offer us. That's the first promise that he made to those who are going to leave the world and step into the kingdom of God and step into heavenly realities and heaven's lifestyle is learning how to live out of rest. How many of you felt stressed last week in any way? All right, we talk about what stressed you out. Your job, call out something that stressed you out. Family. The book release. What else? People. Your jobs. Somebody said jobs, plural. See, we got more than one job. You got a lot of jobs, right? Money issues, right? Relational issues. Baby mama drama. Baby father drama. See? All of these cares, all these concerns are part of life. But church, God also has given us something else that he says, this is the key or the solution to overcoming the things in life. It's called grace. You see, let's look at one more verse, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 16. John 1, verse 16. We spend time in verse 17 where it talks about how the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That what Jesus offers us is grace. And for those of you that are, again, new, we're going to redefine what grace really means. Grace is not just what you say before a meal. You say grace. No, grace is God's unmerited, unearned favor. It's favor that we don't deserve. It's God's ability, it's God's strength, it's God's power given to us for life. You see, when we understand what grace is all about, grace allows us to attack the daily demands of life with God's help and God's power. You see, let me tell you why you get stressed. You get stressed because you are trying to do life by yourself. You get stressed when you are trying to take on the affairs and the cares of life in your own strength. I know my limits when I go to the gym. I know how much weight I can lift. And I know that there's good stress and bad stress. There's good stress, the stress that comes when you're challenging yourself to go beyond your limits. And that's good. There's some good stress. The bad stress is the stress that brings disease and injury and harm. The emotional stress that we don't learn how to manage. But you get stressed out when you're trying to take on your circumstances without God. I'll say it again. You get stressed out when you are facing a circumstance without including God. You worry when you're imagining your future without God. You're thinking about how the situation will play out if God doesn't step in. Because if God steps in, guess what? If God comes into your greatest challenge and circumstance right now, when we talk about Almighty God, the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, the God who has no weaknesses, the God who has no limits, the God who neither slumbers nor rests, when we talk about the God who is the Almighty God coming into your circumstance, tell me, what circumstance is too hard for your God? Do you believe that? See, so when God's presence begins to fill your circumstances must bow to its knees to Him. Come on. Sicknesses and diseases must bow its knees to the name of Jesus. Poverty must bow its knees to the name of Jesus. That's what happened at the cross. All of Satan's powers, all of Satan's, all his abilities, he was stripped of it, the Bible says. God, the Bible says, Jesus spoiled the principalities and powers at the cross. He spoiled the power that the devil had at Calvary. So when we talk about what Jesus paid for your peace, church. Jesus paid for you to live a life of rest. Adam and Eve were not created and placed in a garden of stress. The Bible talks about, do you know what the garden looked like in Genesis? The Bible says that they didn't even have to water the ground because the ground watered itself. Vegetation and plant life and fruits was growing on its own. God wanted us to live a life of rest. Diseases, when you break down that word disease, a disease, when you split the word in half, is dis-ease. Dis-ease means that a disease means that your body is no longer at ease. It means that it's out of order. It means that it's not at rest. It means that it's not comfortable. Something in your body is causing the equilibrium and the balance of your body to go off. You have a disease because something is not at ease. Something is not at rest. So when God's rest begins to fill your body, it releases you from all diseases. And that's what medication works to do. You take certain vitamins and minerals to bring your body back into balance. I'm going to teach on health and healing later on. I don't want to go too deep in that. But it makes sense, right? If God's presence gives you rest, and if rest, do you know that when you're sick, what's one of the first things doctors tell you to do? Get some rest. It doesn't tell you to do more work. They don't tell you to get some more stuff done. It tells you to rest. Why? Because rest causes your body to come back to a place of ease. And when your body's at a place of ease, it can fight off the things that's wrong in your body. Hallelujah. Now look at grace. How does grace play into this? We're almost done. Verse, what's this? 16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. I'm going to read the Amplified Version so you can really get a picture of what this is. You're going to like this. The Bible says Jesus was full of grace. Amen. He came to the earth full of grace and truth. So watch this. If he was full of grace and he wants us to become full of this thing, the Bible says in the Amplified Version, for out of his fullness or abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Let me paint this picture for you. The original language actually gives you a picture of a wave. If you've ever seen an ocean and you've seen the waves come, you don't just see one big wave come, do you? You see waves. It keeps coming. And it keeps coming. The picture of the grace of God, church, that Jesus gives us, is that the way God wants to favor us, the way God wants to bless you, the way God wants to give you his rest, is that he wants to give you wave after wave of grace. Blessing after blessing of grace. You know how that works? It's because, guess what? The demands of life, how does it come to you? In waves. The cares of life come to you, one after the other. Amen? Come on, do I have a witness? Come on, problems come, one after the other. So we're aware of that reality. But God says there's a greater reality he wants you to know about, church. Is that God's grace will also come to you, wave after wave. Come on, after another, the demands that come, God wants to give you the grace to deal with that demand. So when another demand comes, God can, I got another wave of grace coming your way. When you got another problem that comes up, come on, there's another grace coming your way. Come on, and where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Hallelujah. Come on, God wants to give you his ability, his anointing, his strength, his wisdom, his solutions, his power to deal with every circumstance in your life. But you got to see that grace coming wave after wave. See, we think, oh, wait, God blessed me last week, but now this is coming up. I don't know if he's going to do it for me this week. No, there's more grace. Come on, coming your way. Hallelujah. God said to me, I'll just read it for you really quick. God said to me while I was preparing this, he says, tell my people that grace works by supply and demand. You guys ever heard of the term supply and demand? It's an economic term, a business term, commerce term. It just simply means that when it comes to a product that's being sold, that the supply of the product is directly connected to the demand for the product. That right now they got these little toys that's out that's supposed to help relieve stress. For some people it creates stress. But it's supposed to give stress to the people that use it. I mean, release stress. Interesting, right? Even kids need stress toys. It's how dangerous the times we're living in. Kids are stressed out. So anyway, there's these toys for kids. I don't know if you ever saw them. It spins around. It's called fidgets. Anyway, there's a demand for them now. So now there's a supply for it. We didn't see them 5 years ago. We didn't see them 3 years ago. They probably came out 20 years ago and brought them out. You know how things go in circles. But there's a demand for it now, so there's a supply. You see, that's how supply and demand works. When there's no demand, there's no supply. The demand is what causes there to be an activation for the supply. So how grace works is this. God already has an abundance of grace ready to supply your needs. So the supply is there, God being the supplier. But how do we get a hold of what God has to supply for us? We have to put a demand on it. So, the supply of grace comes to you according to the demands of your faith. When you put a demand on God to do what he said he will do, with your faith, he releases the grace. But if there's no demand on God, there will be no release of grace. That's why a person is not saved unless they call on his name to be saved. They have to put a demand on God's saving power in order for them to receive salvation. He doesn't just save you, although he wants to save you. He needs to hear you say, I want to be saved. You have to put a demand. The Bible talks about the woman with the issue of blood, how she pressed her way to be healed, and how she had this disease in her body for 12 years. She could not receive healing anywhere else. She spent all her money to try to get healed from this condition. And then the Bible says, she said within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, then I will be healed. And she pressed her way to the crowd. She got close enough to him. When everybody else was touching him, people walked away. They touched him, but no one received the healing breakthrough that she received. Why? Because when she touched him, the Bible says, Jesus looked around and said, who touched me? Who touched me? His apostles and his disciples said, Lord, there was a whole crowd of people touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? But he said, no. Somebody put a demand on me. See, you can come to church, sit down in the seats, and you walk away without receiving nothing. You can come close to the preacher, come close to the pastor, come close to the man of God, woman of God, whoever. It is your faith that releases grace. It is your trust in God to say, God, I believe you're good. And I believe that even now in this moment, I'm going through this situation. I'm stressed out over my finances. I got bills that are coming in that I'm looking at the envelopes. And I'm like, I don't know how that's going to get paid. I don't know how where the money is going to come from. You can simply sit there and worry. Or you can turn to God and say, God, I'm going to seek your face. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Come on, he says, seek the kingdom first and everything else will be added to you. You see, so the world, the Bible says, just like the Gentiles, they worry. That is illegal in the kingdom of God. If heaven had a jail, you go to jail for worrying. Until your mindset changes, until you renew your mind. And you know what? In the natural, worry keeps you in a prison. It keeps you in a psychological prison. It keeps you in an emotional jail cell. Worrying does not help you. It causes you to be more stressed out and it causes you to become more sick. Worry, sickness, disease, they all come from the same pit. They all come from the same lake. But church, there's a river of grace flowing over us right now. Come on. Wave after wave. Come on. What does it say? Abundance of grace that's coming our way. Spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing. Come on. Come on. Ain't anybody going to put a demand on God to do what he says he can do? Come on. Your greatest problem is God's greatest platform. Come on. God is saying, look at that problem. Look at that circumstance. It's too hard for you, right? It's too hard for you, right? But there's nothing too hard for me. Hallelujah. So you put your faith and say, okay, God, I'm taking my hands off of this right now. Yeah, my daughter. Yeah, my son. They're going crazy. I don't know. I've been trying everything. I tried to control them. I tried to punish them. I tried to put ground them. I tried to do all this stuff. Nothing seems to be working. Try grace. Try my grace. Try my grace. You see, and what grace does, and we're almost done, what grace does is this. There's no room for boasting in grace. Romans 4 tells us that. We don't boast. We have to be humble to receive grace, the Bible says. It's because of our pride is why we stay in the mess that we're in. He gives his grace to the humble, but the proud he casts away. It is your pride that says, I'm going to take on this situation on my own. It's your pride that says, I'm going to keep doing this stuff. And you keep pulling yourself in a deeper mess. But no matter how deep of a mess you're in, God has given us an abundance of grace to pull us out. It is God's strength. It's God's power. It's God's ability to overcome every circumstance in our lives. We're going to end in Romans 8. Let's end in Romans 8. Somebody say, Lord, I receive your grace. See, you got, if you're going to put a demand on God, you got to speak it. You see, the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. Who told her to say that? Jesus didn't tell her to say that. The disciples never told her to say that. What was in her heart, faith was born in her heart. And as she spoke it, and as she responded to it, grace was released. Come on. You got to speak out of your mouth. Say, Lord, I receive your grace. Lord, I want you to do me the favor. These bills, I can't take care of them. I want you to do me the favor. I want you to take care of this. Lord, I don't know where the money's going to come from. But I know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I know that the silver and the gold belong to you. So there's nothing too hard for you. Come on. Say, Lord, I receive your grace. Come on, miracles happening by grace. Come on, God wants to release miracles to you. Come on, he's releasing another wave of grace. Come on, lift up your hands and just receive that. Come on. Whatever you're going through in life, whatever the demands of life, whatever is stressing you out in life, there is a wave of grace coming your way if you say yes to God, if you say yes to Jesus. Come on, of his fullness we have received. Jesus is full of grace, and when we look to Jesus, come on, that fullness that he has, that grace that he has, that's waiting to supply your needs will be released to you. Come on, I can't hear you. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Ask for grace today. Whoa, Shandamaya. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Come on, there's a wave of, I'm telling you, right where you are. Right where you are. I want you to get out of your flesh right now. And I want you to get into a level of faith. And I want you to release yourself to the grace of God. Come on, Jesus died for you so that you can walk and live in the life of grace in which you will reign in life. Not be overcome, not be overtaken, not be thrown off by life. Come on, God says, I want you to reign in life. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on. The Bible said in Romans 8, he said, if God did not spare his own son to save you, how will he not freely give you all things? The greatest gift God gave us was Jesus. There is nothing higher than that. And he gave him us to save us. So if he was willing to give us Jesus to save us from our sins, what is a healing? What's a financial blessing? Come on, what's money compared to the Son of God? Come on, what's healing compared to the Son of God? He gave us the greatest gift. Hallelujah. Come on, he will not withhold any good thing from those who trust him. He will not withhold any good thing from those who believe in him. Hallelujah. Come on, do I have a witness today? Come on,
that Jesus paid it all. Come on, Jesus conquered it all for you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet. I want you to take 30 seconds. Just begin to worship the Lord. Come on, the supplier is getting ready to supply your needs according to the demands of your faith.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.